Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning service. Good to see y'all. If you can, let's stand. We're going to sing At Calvary.
Years I spent behind a tree and pride, caring that my Lord was crucified.
I wanted to, Brother Gomez will be here, I hope, in a minute or two. But if he doesn't, somebody else will preach, probably me. But I'm glad Brother Gomez is here, one of my closest friends and one of my heroes. And boy, he did a whale of a job last Sunday, and I'm sure he'll do the same today. But I wanted to testify a little bit because 48 years ago today, I made the greatest decision of my life when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. 48 years ago today, March the 24th, 1976, so praise the Lord. And we're glad you're here today.
You want to pray for us, preacher?
Yeah, I guess I ought to pray. Father, thank you for the privilege and opportunity of coming to church. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who died for us and rose again. Thank you for saving me and for all of these people that have trusted Christ as Savior. And Lord, we pray if there is anybody with us today who has never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they might come to Him today and be saved. Now please bless and help in the service today in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated.
All right, burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Days I've been with sorrow and
take two offerings. The one we take in a few moments is, again, we don't use to do this. Some of you have been to churches where
They always talk about money. That's not what you hear at this church. Brother Nicholas does not like talking about money, but when we have a special speaker, we always take an offering for him. So we'll have our regular offering after the next song, and then we'll have, at the end of the service, we'll have an offering that will go for Brother and Mrs. Gomez, and then again tonight. If you're visiting with us for the first time, or the first time in a long time, if you just slip your hand up for a second. Thought I saw someone. Brother Tover, I want you to tell us who that young lady is sitting next to you. Brother Yali, you're going to have to stop bothering Brother Tovar. We're trying to get his attention. Brother Tovar, tell us who that young lady is. I thought that's who that was. Good to have you, sis. Anyone else here for the first time in a long time? Or if you're like me and you don't remember the last service, that's okay too. But don't forget all the folks on the prayer list. We always pray for Preacher and Cindy, praying for Brother Wynn. Thursday soul winning at 6:45, Saturday bus visitation at 9:30, soul winning at 10:45, and then back in your place for Sunday school and church next Sunday morning, 9:45. This week, we are doing the church event on Tuesday. We're going to main event. There's a sign-up sheet in the back, but if you can make it Tuesday night, we start at 5:30 at main event. You don't need to come here. And if you look up main event, there's two of them in town. The one that's 45 minutes away, not the one we're going to. We're going to the one that's right over here on 151. So, you can meet us there at 5:30. If you can't make it at 5:30, you can come later. We have it reserved from 5:30 to 9:30. And again, it's $10 your cost. It costs us $20. I have money in the youth fund that we cover half with. So again, you can't go anywhere and bowl or shoot pool or do the gravity ropes. I don't do the gravity ropes because I don't like getting up in the air and walking on stuff like that. So when I was younger, that was fun. When I'm older, that's scary. So, but again, then we get a 2-piece of pizza, soda, and a $10 game card. So a lot of stuff to do there. We have some folks that just bowl the whole time. They don't do anything but bowl. We have others that are Laser Quest fans, so they play a lot of Laser Quest. So again, that is Tuesday night, 5:30 at main event, till 9:30. And again, if you can sign up in the back, that way I'll know if I need to change the number. I already made a reservation, and if I need to change the number, I will. But again, everybody's invited, all ages. So again, little kids. Now, there are some things that little kids can't do, but they can do most of the stuff. They have a height limit for Laser Quest. I don't think there's a height limit for anything else. But again, they can do most stuff. But again, all ages are invited, and that's Tuesday night, 5:30 to 9:30. Back tonight for 6 o'clock service. Brother Gomez is speaking this morning for us in this service, and then tonight as well at 6 o'clock. So again, be here yourself, and if you can bring somebody else, that would be a blessing as well.
Well, if you can, let's stand. We're going to sing At the Cross.
Alas, did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? He had sacred hand for such a woman I. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away.
Thank you for the blessings that you've given us and for this opportunity to hear Brother Gomez preach. Lord, we ask you to bless this offering and be sufficient to meet the needs here at the church. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beneath the cross of Jesus. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the wave, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burning of the day. I take glory.
topple on Cassie and his assistants.
Here you go. One of the great songs of the faith that was written out of tragedy and out of sorrow. It is well.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my life thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. But Lord, is for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our. Trump shall resound.
Thank you, gentlemen. If you missed last week, you missed a blessing. And because we have the archives, you can always go back and see the messages you missed last week from Brother Gomez. This is his last Sunday with us. It was a blessing to have him last week. And again, he's been a friend of Brother Nichols for many, many years in Liberty Baptist Church. We appreciate him. He mentioned to us the other day that he's thinking about retiring from retiring. But because he preaches out almost every week someplace different. They do a lot of traveling and getting around. So always pray for, again, it's not safe. It's tough on the road sometimes. I know they're driving this time, right? So they're driving. But again, also, if you have any questions about hunting, that's the guy right there to ask, because he's hunted about everything that there is to hunt. If you've ever seen the stuff. How many of you have ever been to Bass Pro Shop? His church that he had, with all the animals he had and some of the other folks in the church, it looked like Bass Pro Shop. So if you've ever been in the college, it was in the college or the church? College. So if you've ever been to the college area, you'll see it. It's decorated with a bunch of stuff. He's been to Africa several times and other places. So again, preaches everywhere, hunts everywhere. I'm glad he's here today. So grab your King James Bibles, pay attention, you'll get a blessing.
God bless you. Thank you. Well, Bass Pro is right down the road from my house and from the college, and they're jealous of us. That's all I want to say. But I only shop at two places, Bass Pro and Cabela's. That's the only two places I shop. God knows that. I did that before I was saved. Some of you men that push buggies, God help you. They'll put a paper sack over your head, get your two little eyeballs and push down and obey your wife. Just do what you say. Just do what you say. I wouldn't. I ain't going shopping, bless God. I ain't going to do that. And I ain't going to play no guitar either. My guitar never got saved. That was good a while ago, fellas. Thank you. That was wonderful. My guitar never got saved. I was in Brother Nichols' office the other day and grabbed his 12 string. I got to ripping it up. And he was dancing, even Kane and all. He just a dancer. I got to thinking, man, so much for my guitar stuff. It's crazy because when I retired, people came to me, gave me three different guitars, and they're still not saved. So I'm giving them away is what I'm doing. But anyway, it's such a joy to be here again. And I hope you understand how blessed you are to have Dr. Nichols as your pastor.
Amen.
I know you do. You got to. I mean, he's not only a dear friend, but I love he and his wife very much. And thank you for all your kindnesses to Kim and I. We have certainly enjoyed it, every bit of it. Just a tad late today, we were leaving, and there was I was parked here with my truck, a gray truck, and then there was somebody between us, and then another big Ram, gray Ram, and somebody had broke in and busted his windows out and stole some stuff. So I was dealing with him a little bit before I got here. But anyway, that's just what's happened today in a drug culture, where folks got to steal, and so you're gonna have to be careful of some of that as time goes on. It's a hazard in traveling. And so anyway, but how many know Boudreaux Thibodeau jokes? You know, there's Cajuns. You know what I'm talking about, right? You better know. They're my kinfolk. But anyway, Boudreaux and Thibodeau saw an ad in the paper in Baton Rouge Times, and it talked about buying a mule for $100. So they called a guy and told him, we want to buy a mule. He said, I'll bring it tomorrow. The next day he showed up, and the farmer said, man, the mule died last night. And Boudreaux and Thibodeau said, man, that don't make no difference. Just give us the money back. He said, man, I can't do that. He said, I already spent the money. They said, okay, well, just give us the dead mule. I said, what are you going to do with a dead mule? He said, we're going to raffle him off. He said, man, you can't raffle a dead mule off. He said, oh, yeah, we can. So a couple weeks later, the man saw, the farmer saw Boudreaux and Thibodeau and Piggly Wiggly. He said, man, what'd you do with the mule? I told you we raffled him off. We sold 500 tickets for $2 apiece. He said, man, we made $500 like that. He said, man, but it was a dead mule. He said, Did the guy who won? He said, did anybody get upset about that? He said, only the guy that won. He said, what'd you do? I just gave him his $2 back. Now, Boudreaux and Thibodeau work for the government. But anyway, you'll get that by freight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in your Bibles, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you again, Brother Nichols, for the opportunity to be here. We certainly enjoyed the fellowship with you, your wife, and these dear people. I want to speak a little while and try to help, and I'm hesitant about the time because the message takes a little longer than normal. I hope I can get it done in good enough time. But I just want to speak a little while on the ministry of suffering. There's a ministry God wants to give each and every one of us here if you'll just listen.
Yeah.
I'm sick to death of hearing heresy and trash on the TV by way of religious stations trying to tell everybody that you shouldn't suffer. Yeah. When I can take that book right there and show you that it's God's will that all Christians suffer.
Yeah. Amen.
When you plow through that book as much as I have, you come across those verses over and over again as you read down through the Word of God. Ravenhill said Christians were known back yonder. Christians were known in yesteryear for prisons, persecution, and poverty. Today's Christians are known for popularity, pleasure, and prosperity. And that's so true. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would please. And notice in verse 7, we'll just stay seated today if you would. Look at this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Apostle Paul, what a man of God. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake. Boy, I wish we'd underline that. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving be of many redound unto the glory of God. Which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
I want you to look at the next statement, which blows me just absolutely. Are y'all with me now?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to talk a little bit about my first wife who died and my son. And yet nobody in this room, I don't care what suffering you've ever been through, has ever gone through what the great Apostle Paul has gone through.
Yeah.
And I want you to notice what he says. Look at the next verse. For our light affliction.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you that when I read that, it just floored me. Well, then it goes after our light affliction.
Yeah.
Which is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory. What a deal, man. Go to chapter 11. I just want to show you this. Just turn over to chapter 11 right here. I just want to show you this because some people skip over it. Chapter 11. Pick it in verse 23, if you would, please. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. This is Paul talking. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons more frequent, in death off. That's enough right there. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. If you understood what our Lord looked like after his beating, words cannot comprehend
what our Lord looked like after they finished him with a cat of nine tails. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Do something. Paul got it five times. Five times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, floating. Just think about that. Spooky thing, man, when it got sharks about, you know, swimming around. And if you're in peril like that and floating around in the ocean on a board through the night, it'll mess with you psychologically. Look at, if you would please, in journeys oft, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and pain and painfulness, in watching oft, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without. That which cometh unto me daily, the cares of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory, watch it, of the things which concern my infirmities. And he said, this is but a light thing. Father, help us a little while on this morning. We want to be a help and a blessing to this dear church. We love these folks and thank God that they came today. Pray that you'd bless and help. I pray that something be said be a help and a blessing to Dr. Nichols and this church. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would please, and pick it up in verse 3. Chapter 1 and verse 3. And you read down verse 3 through 11, you'll see that blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of the God. You can read down through those verses. I'll not take the time today. We'll cover some of them in the message. But it seems to me like God has something concerning suffering that we all need. I hear Christians often talk about Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But sometimes we don't understand that sometimes our need is the need of suffering. It's amazing when you're young, you don't have a whole lot to worry about, but as we age, that'll happen. But trust me when I say this, pastor of a church our size for those many years, we have young people that suffer. There are folks in this room that I know that I pastored years and years ago that lost loved ones, lost a father, some lost a mother. There were young kids then that hurt. It doesn't matter age group. Heartache and suffering is no respect of age. It'll happen to anyone. And sometimes the need is a need to suffer. We're always seeking and thirsting after the power of God, but there's a price to be paid.
That's right.
See, that I might know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection. We like the power of God, but we don't like the second part, and the fellowship of his suffering. We don't like that part. We don't like that part because we never read the next verse, because it's predestined that we be conformed to the image of God's Son. The reason God will put us through that crucible is because sometimes he's trying to make us into what he wants us to. Folks, I don't know if you know this. You're not God. He's God. And sometimes he's trying to form us into what he can use as a vessel.
Amen.
Your prayer should always be, dear God, don't take me off the wheel. Jeremiah 18, keep me on the wheel. Keep forming me and making me into a vessel for the master's use. We want the power without suffering. God normally has a person's full attention when you're going through suffering.
Yeah, right.
And put it down, my friend, when all this was going on in my life, God had my full attention. You know, when you're on the mountaintop, boy, you're running back and forth, everything shouting, amen, hallelujah.
Yeah.
But boy, you're going through the valley, that's kind of hard to do, but God said we should.
Yeah.
Mountaintops are wonderful, but fruit grows in the valleys. I've hunted some, and when you're fat and old like me, you can't do mountain hunting anymore. I used to do mountain hunting, go way up in the mountaintop. I'd always say, man, the animals are way up there. We get up there in the shales up there. When I get there, I look back down in the valley. I said, that's where the fruit's at. That's where, if I was an animal, that's where I'd go. We ended up back in the valley. Green, plush. Are y'all with me now? Fruit grows in the valley.
Amen.
Are y'all with me now?
Amen.
So what you have, and it's very interesting, I think, in Psalms 22, we have the first coming of Christ. And you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalms 22, the crucifixion. That's the first coming of Christ. Mount Calvary. Psalm 24, you have Mount Zion,
Amen.
The second coming of Christ. I don't know if anybody taught you this. I'm not trying to talk down to you. I'm just saying between two mountains, there is a valley. Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Amen.
So you need to understand that in chapter 22, he's the good shepherd. In chapter 24, he's the glorious shepherd. But in chapter 23, he's my shepherd. So when we're going through the valley, you need to understand that he's your shepherd.
Amen.
And so everybody in this room, if you've not gone through a valley yet, you will. If you've not gone through suffering and trials and tribulations, you will one day.
Amen.
Everybody, I'm speaking to everybody right now. Just wait. Hold your breath. It's coming. And God will teach you marvelous truths in the times of suffering. The key is not to complain. We cry in our Cyril. We have it so good in America, and we're so comfortable in everything we do. When we have just a little trial and tribulation come, dear God, the world is coming to an end.
Yeah.
Folks, excuse me, man. I just read what this great apostle did and gave us 13 books of the New Testament. No wonder he had the power of God on his life.
Amen.
He went through some suffering. He's more like Jesus, and he was able to do that for us.
Amen.
God wants to use every one of you in this room in a great and marvelous way if you'll just allow him to. But at times, he's going to have to put you through the mill sometimes. He wants to find out what you're made of. He's not going to use you just because he wants. He's going to use you because you're proven. There's some people, Dr. Nichols, they think that God saved them to have them. If you think that God saved you to have you, you think too highly of yourself. He has you to use. He saved you to use you. He wants to use you. And he can use you in various situations. I'm just simply saying that, have you ever wondered why me? You're going through some trial, why me? There's no accidents in the Christian life. God always speaks to his children in various ways. We understand, I read it even this morning, that God sometimes judges. That's when crisis come, and sometimes that's when afflictions come. That's sometimes when suffering comes. But excuse me, there's other times when suffering comes to the godly and the righteous. I mean, you think about Job. I mean, there's nobody quite like Job. Nobody in this room. I may say something about it tonight. I'm going to preach on the crucible of tribulation. Nobody in this room, I don't care who you think you are, nobody in this room is like Job. His reputation in the world was that there's none like Job, righteous, perfect, shoot evil, love God with all his heart, everything. But wait a minute, if you read on, God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. God's testimony of Job was exactly what everybody else was saying about him. Think about that for a minute. God can't say that about any of us in this room right now.
Yeah.
Like he did Job. What a man of God.
Amen.
And I said it before, and I might say it in this message here or tonight, but Job didn't lose some things. He lost everything with 10 caskets. I'm simply saying that it's amazing how many times we whine and cry in our cereal when God is trying to do something for us. There's no accidents in the Christian life. We need to understand the ministry of suffering. Are you with me now? Why in God's name would God allow me to go through what I did and not teach me something in that trial, in that suffering, that I could help others with? Why do you think? I mean, that's the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Folks, we got to get a hold of this truth.
Yeah.
I read this week and read it again this morning in my devotions for some reason, but in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the affliction of the righteous. We want to shout and rejoice, but sometimes we don't like the suffering and the tears.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm not preaching platitudes to you. I'm trying to teach a reality right now. I'm trying to tell you that it's coming. And you're going to weep. And it's going to hurt deep. And the tears going to flow. And the suffering's going to be deep. But that's part of life. That's just life. And I'm simply, God is watching you to see how you're going to turn out in that situation. Now, there's two things that you need to understand. Number one, realize it's coming. Try to prepare for it. Number two, realize it's appointed by God. It's appointed by no accidents in the Christian life.
Yeah.
It's appointed by God.
That's right.
For we know that all things work together for good.
Amen.
No, you just quote that. You like to quote that. You don't like to live that. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. But the problem is we just don't quote the next verse, because the next verse said that we're predestined to be conform to the image of God's Son. What God is trying to do is form us into something that He could use. We have such a weak, need, effeminate fundamentalism, Bible believers, it's a shame today. And that's what the problem is. We can't go through the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not cheerleading time. This is cross-bearing time. It's not crowning time, cross-bearing time. I'm simply saying that we need to understand that clearly. Suffering will cause you to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Please remember that it's a proof of God. What I had to get a hold of is that nothing could ever come in my life that God hadn't stamped approved. That's what He did to Job. If you consider that, go for Him. Just don't take His life. Please understand that it's been stamped the proof of God. Nothing can come to Keith Gomez's life that hadn't first come to God first. And he said, okay. You ever thought about this, that maybe God allows you to go through that because He can trust you where He couldn't trust anybody else? You ever thought that? That maybe He looks at you and says, you know, that's a good Christian. He can handle this. That one over there can't. He can't. Because I'm gonna cause that individual to go through some deep water, and I'm gonna form them into something that could be used for a bunch of people, not just for himself. We live in such a selfish, self-centered society that we don't understand this matter.
That's right.
And it's a crazy thing. And so normally you do three things. First of all, you'll resent it. You'll say, "Why me?" Like nobody's ever gone through the suffering you're going through. I love my daddy. I love my dad. I miss my daddy so much. He's an ex-professional boxer. I love that guy. I miss him so much. But he'd make statements. Just, you know, he said, you know, son, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Now that sounds funny, but I mean, it's true. Daddy was cool, man. Daddy was cool with death. My daddy was a stinking drunk as I was. Fight like animals. And then we both got saved. We got saved, started living for God. And he was good with it, man. Read the King James Bible on his knees every night. He was good with all of it, man. He was facing death. He said, "I don't mind dying, son. I just ain't going to let no doctor kill me." He said, it's a crazy thing. And so he was so good with it. And so you don't have to say, "Why me?" You can present it, say, "Why me?" Or you can resign. You can just quit. A lot of people through suffering, when you go through suffering, the first thing they do is they bail on God Almighty. Quit church and quit reading the Bible, quit praying. Don't have faith anymore. I don't understand that. But let me tell you what God says. And this is hard for me to say, but listen carefully. God says, rejoice.
Amen.
Now, brethren, you want to swallow deep on that? Swallow deep. I'm preaching what God said. It's not black words on white piece of paper. I'm trying to tell you what God said. Rejoice.
Amen.
When you walk into a hospital room with your 38-year-old boy that was 46 years old yesterday, who's been in this church with Joe Boyd, who I heard him stand behind the pulpit and preach when he was a senior, and I sat here with my mouth open. I said, I've never heard any seasoned preacher preach any deeper and better than that boy. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. That's not my son. Threw up a tent, giant tent, his senior year. Had 1,000, 1,200 come every night. They preached every night. Had over 100 plus saved. And I think 50-something baptized under that tent under the auspices of Northwest Bible Baptist Church. I just sat back, had a bunch of preachers sitting with me, and they said, this is what they said. They said, Keith, you better be careful of that boy. The devil wants to kill him. And he did. When you walk into a hospital room, Dr. Nichols, and you lay your hands on your son when you walk in, and you see his head is this big, hitting a tree 100 miles an hour with a motorcycle, his head this big, he looks like Frankenstein, all the thing. I mean, cut him from ear to ear and pulled his scalp up under his chin right here and reconstructed his skull and put together with titanium plates and screws. And they were trying to harvest his organs. And when they're trying to harvest your organs, that means you're done. They're giving up on you. And me and Mama walked in there and laid hands on him. Had a nurse standing right here. And we walked straight in. And when I saw him, it's shocking seeing all those tubes coming out of him. And I laid my hands on him. Missing an eye. I laid my hands on him. I said, dear God, I love him. And I gave him to you when he was born. And if you want him, you can have him. But I sure appreciate it if you just give us a few more years of his life. And he did. 50 days later, that boy walked out on his own power out of that hospital. Now, folks, listen, that nurse right there told us, she said, I've been up at the roof and got those guys off that helicopter, those motorcycle accidents. She said, preacher, I know that I've been doing this for all these years. I know when they're going to make it or not. And most of them never make it. And your son was absolutely not going to make it. Dr. Mike Johnson over there in Shasta. His son, Joshua, was with his son there, and that's where the accident happened. Dr. Johnson told me, he said, preacher, when I got to the hospital, he said, I went to ICU, and he said the floor was that thick in blood. He said, and every white towel was red, and they're working on Josh, and they'd look up at me and shake their head. No. He said, they've been trying to get a hold of you to harvest his organs. I was way up in the North Country with my staff fishing, couldn't get cell service up there. That nurse wrote me after we walked out of that place. She wrote me a month later and she said, preacher, I just want to let you know that I took an early retirement because I saw two faith-filled people came in and laid their hands on their son and he walked out. It was an absolute miracle. I saw that with my own eyes and I know when people are going to make it or not. And he said he was not going to make it at all. No hope. She said, I want you to know that I resigned early, took my early retirement, and I'm going to be a medical missionary now. And she did. Isn't that amazing? If that was the only purpose. Of course, time went on. His pituitary gland was so messed up, he started having seizures and stuff, and of course, ended up dying. Are y'all with me now? The Bible says we ought to rejoice in tribulation. Now, Paul gives us three reasons real quickly, and I've got to hasten for it to get this done. Notice, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and pick it up in verse 3 and 4. It says, who comforted us with all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The first thing I want to say is that we might be able to comfort others. Are y'all with me now? Why in the world would God allow me to go through that if he wouldn't help me to help others that might have gone through that?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Right.
Yeah. My brother, I don't mean to embarrass you. Have you had a stroke? Is that
aneurysm?
Okay.
16.
16 years old when that happened? I wouldn't know how to help folks that had aneurysm. You do.
Yeah. Amen.
Or anybody suffering physically. Are y'all with me now?
Amen.
God didn't allow you. Brother Block, God didn't allow you to lose your wife. Just be selfish about it and everybody pity you. See, sometimes when we suffer and go like that, we won't pity. I'm not saying Brother Block does. But we won't pity, and that's not what God wants. He wants to take whatever we're going through and have us to come through that suffering. And when we come through that suffering and that birthing, we come out. The Bible says that tribulation and that trials as pure gold.
Amen.
He refined, we put it in the refiner's fire, and we come out of that thing better where we can go help others.
Yeah.
I'm simply saying that's why. I want you to look at it one more time, that we may be able to comfort others. We cannot comfort people who's suffering if we've never gone through that. I remember when I first started pastoring, you know, preachers when they're young and dumb. Just graduated Bible college, you think you got it all together. And somebody would come to me, you know, man, I lost my mom and dad. I said, man, I know how you feel. I had never lost my mom and dad. I was lying to them. And I mean, within just a short period of time after I started pastoring, I got thinking, man, I'm lying to people. I don't know how they feel. So I stood in my pulpit and said, folks, I've been lying to y'all. I don't know how you feel. You that lost loved ones, I've never lost those. I'm sorry. I can hurt for you and I can weep with you, but I can't say I know how you feel. Then I lost my mother. Then if somebody said, man, preach, I lost my mother. I said, I know what you're going through. By the way, can I help you with something? I don't know how they feel because we all feel different.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
See, and the truth of the matter is we like these Christian cliches. God help us, deliver us from Christian cliches.
Yeah.
Somebody died. Thank God for heaven. We know that. We understand that. I want to help you now, because if you read down through Job, when Job's friends came to comfort him, they came and they sat 7 days in the heap and looked at him afar off as he was suffering of sore balls and looked at him. And that's some good friends that'll do that. Travel from everywhere. Those three guys just sat down and just hurt with him. And then in chapter 4, they became Baptists and started accusing him of everything. Say, how sad that is. I'm just simply saying it's a crazy thing. And so I'm simply, you know, it's amazing how when God puts us through this many times, we need to understand that God wants to take what we have and what we've gone through to try to be a help and a blessing to others. Kim lost her sister, the very close sister. And if somebody lost a sister, she could help. I was preaching in North Carolina. Two years ago, I guess, after I retired. But and boy, I love it down there, you know, because man, when you have the choir, all right, y'all come on up, we're gonna sing. Everybody gets up there, and they got the kids, little bit of kids on it, little kids raising their hand. Amen. They're singing it out, boy. It's great, good mountain music. You don't like that, you're not saved. But anyway, man, they're just singing it up a storm, man. They got it going on. And I appreciate it more in a big crowd and then a big youth thing, man, huge there. And we're walking out on Sunday morning. I walked out and I preached, I think, something on suffering. I don't remember. But anyway, I walked out. And when I walked out with the preacher, Kim and I, the preacher said, I want you to meet this lady. She's a very beautiful lady. She had one in a bassinet, I think. And then a little one like this. And he introduced her and she looked at me, tears flowing down her face. She said, you are such a blessing, preacher. Thank you so much. You helped me get over some hurdles I had to get over. And I said, well, thank you, lady. What's the problem? She said, my husband was a professional baseball player for the Kansas City Royals. Big, strapping, strong man. He said he got COVID and he went to get checked in. They put him in the hospital and they killed him, preacher. They killed my husband. That's her statement. She said, they called me 2 hours before and said, he's doing great. He said, he ought to be able to get out in just a little while. The next phone call was, he's dead. That's shocking. Now, here's the thing, Dr. Nichols. Nobody wants to go there in their mind. Most preachers said, I don't want to go there in my mind about losing my spouse. There's some young people here just been married, don't have any children. You think, well, that could never happen. It could happen. And I'm simply saying, what an amazing thing when you go through that. The Holy Spirit of God is our paraclete and he's a comforter. And the preacher can give you some nice words and we can say some good things to you. But the comforter is the one who's got to comfort you. And that's the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
And after the comfort of the Holy Spirit speaks to you and comfort you, then you need to go and comfort others. Folks, please, one more time. It's called the ministry of suffering. Why would God allow you to go through what you've gone through and not use it for his glory? For your good and his glory. Folks, listen, it ain't time for folks to come around and pat you on the back and sympathize with you. I didn't want any sympathy. I came to Texas.
Amen.
Well, boys, I taught at House Anderson, I taught these boys how to roll off homes. They have a ministry not too far from here, right? But that goes maybe an hour or so. And they said, preacher, we know what's going on. Why don't you come here, hunker down at our hunting ranch? They pastor also. We have a lodge. You can go ahead and stay there. We won't bother you. And I went there to bury what died in me. And I remember just sitting there and praying and on my face daily and how God was working on me
And I got to thinking, I can't allow this to get me. And the one thing that bothered me a great deal was that I was seeking sympathy. I didn't want sympathy from anybody. I was seeking sympathy for myself, from me. Does that make sense? It's selfishness. I wanted her back. Are y'all waking up?
Yeah.
We all want to go to heaven. When you go there, you want them back? That's the stupidest thing. She wouldn't come back if she could come back.
Yeah.
She didn't come back to this hell-bent world and to this wonderful husband she had. Think about it for a minute, man. We're all messed up. Every stinking one. Don't look at me like you're holy. Every one of you messed up. You're messed up. I don't give a rip what anybody ever said. You're messed up. Why would she want to come back to me in a hell-bent earth? And she's in heaven in glory, waiting. So I'm simply saying that, man, I found out that it was a selfish thing that I was feeling, that I wanted her back. Then I got to thinking, well, wait a minute. God's not allowing me to go through this for sympathy. I didn't want sympathy. I didn't let any preachers get to me. I didn't want to take their phone calls. I didn't want to see them. Don't ask me how I'm doing, because you ain't got time and you don't want to know. I'm suffering now. I'm going through that turmoil right now. I get a phone call from your pastor. When I saw who it was, I knew I had to answer it. Now, I didn't answer to all this preacher, but I answered his. And he said, Brother Gomez, now tell me I can't. Yeah, I can imitate him all day long. Preachers got me imitating him better than him. Brother Gomez, do you mind if I come up and see you down to Boys Ranch? I said, sure, Brother Nichols. So he came there and we chatted and had some fellowship. About that time, Brother Ballard called me. He's one of my preacher boys. He was at Pot of Gold Ranch preaching. He said, Doc, please, I want to see you, please. I miss you so much. I want to see you, please. I said, no, Doc, no, please come see me. Please, I'm, you know, just got off a flight. I'm here at the ranch. Come see me. I want to see you, please. So I asked Dr. Nick, I said, well, how far are we about to go? Oh, just right down the road there, not too long. That man knows nothing about direction, trust me, okay? It took like hours and hours to get there. I go, good night, Brother Nichols. But anyway, we got there. It was so good to see two of my close friends. But it's good. Neither one of them asked me how I was doing, necessarily. Are you with me now? Job, I preached through Job when I was going through this. And you'll get that when after his friends started accusing him. This is what he said. Miserable comforters are you all. And I preached that to my people, not to shame them. I was trying to tell him, folks, stop all the cliches. Just when somebody's going through hurt, just grab them on the arm and say, I love you, man. Praying for you, buddy. You're a good Christian. Those type of things. Now, all these Christian cliches. Like, well, you know what? I know you lost your mother. I lost my grandmother one time. I don't be unkind, folks. If you think losing your spouse is like losing your grandmother, you're crippled too high for crutches. Yeah. There's something wrong with you. It ain't like losing your grandmother. The twain shall be made flesh. I wasn't married to my grandmother. Say amen right there, folks, so you don't understand marriage. The twain shall be made. And when it ripped apart, that hurts both. I'm just simply saying that it's amazing. 40 years. Preachers contact me constantly because 40 years of ministry and suffering through some things in the ministry. I'm talking about people leaving. I'm talking about people rebelling. I'm talking about criticism. And, of course, you go online. You read all this stuff against all those preachers that are standing true. And it's got to be true because it's on the Internet and all this stuff. These little mice that'll hide behind a mouse and start typing stuff about preachers. God help those little boys. Yeah. They ain't man enough to come face anybody. They're going to hide behind a mouse.
That's right.
A.W. Tozer said it's very doubtful that God will ever use anyone who has not been hurt deeply. When I played football, I hated practice. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. I hated two-a-days in August. I hated wind sprints. I hated the bear crawls. I hated the duck walk. I hated all that stuff. And it's down in Louisiana now. Y'all close enough to Louisiana to understand what I'm talking about. The humidity is so bad in Louisiana. Clap your hands over your head, it starts raining, right? And running like that, you almost have to have gills with so much humidity. I mean, dear Lord, like that. I hated it, but let me tell you what I liked. Man, I like Friday night. It's time, bro. Strap them on. It's time. I love to hit. I was like Butkus, man. I went out on the field to hurt people. I didn't go out there to play ball. I went to hurt people. I loved it. Some of you little boys, you don't like that, but I'm going to go ahead and say it again. I like it. And I went out to hurt people. Boy, I loved it on Friday, because here's the thing. I hated practice, but I loved showing up for the game. And some of you are going to hate the suffering. But God wants you to show up for the game. Because there's people all over that, not only this church, but all over this community, that are hurting, suffering. And if you don't understand how to have compassion upon them and love on them where they're at, you ain't going to never lead them to Jesus Christ. God has something for every one of you. And there is no hurt deeper than when your motives are judged. But Jesus knows. He knows more than anyone in this room. He was misunderstood, ridiculed and mocked, gossiped about, spit upon, slapped in the face, cursed, laughed at, embarrassed, suffered pain, real pain, wept over loved ones that forsook him. I'm simply saying that Jesus betrayed by his closest friends. That's also pain. Didn't have to be a death of a loved one. When your closest friend that you really trusted just... I mean, you got to go, whoa, what a shock. That hurts deep. But those you love the most will hurt you the worst sometimes. Are y'all with me today? Please listen to this very carefully, because we read the Bible as a checklist so we get a little diploma at the end of the year instead of really letting it pierce you. Judas carried the bag. He was the most trusted disciple. They voted on him. If anybody could be trusted, that guy could be trusted. He carried the bag, and yet he denied Jesus Christ and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. How do you think the Lord felt about that? I have a lot of respect for Judas. He went out and hung himself. That's better than some of the preachers that are selling Jesus Christ down the river in these rock and roll churches and won't go out and hang themselves. Amen, preacher. So, those that you love the most will hurt you the worst. I've traveled for 40 years that I've pastored. I traveled, flown back and forth, and all those years every week somewhere. And a lot of times I'd board those planes. Sometimes on a red eye coming home, and I'd look out the window sometimes just weep, thinking about people that I love the most that has hurt me the worst. Are you with me now? Not my own personal suffering, like in death or anything like that, but just people that I trusted. This past week, Kim told me again. My first wife said the same thing to me in years past before she died, and Kim told me the same thing. This week, she said, "Sweetheart, it's so pitiful. You cry in your sleep. It's the most pitiful thing I've ever heard." So there's something about pain and suffering that will alter your life, but it's for a purpose. I would to God that you can get this thing of ministry of suffering. God wants to use you in an unbelievable way. Do you understand that since that's happened, how many pastors I have helped that's lost their wives? Amen. You know how many times I preach a message like this and people come to me and say, "I lost somebody. Preacher, would you please help me? I'm going through some pain." I was just in a place this last revival where are we coming from? And a man came up to me and just started shaking and weeping. And he said, "I just lost my wife a couple of days ago." Another man standing by me, he lost his wife last year. I was there preaching when he just lost his wife. Lehman Strauss wrote a little book. When a loved one is taken in death, I think it is. And I got a hold of that thing, and God healed my soul when I read that little book a year after Carla had died. When I read that, boy, and I won't go into it, I could, but it healed me. The balm of Gilead was applied to my soul. The first time I went to my pulpit and touched my pulpit since she died, I looked back there and I'd see my family, but I wouldn't see her. I'd never preached, never pastored a day without her. And finally, after God healed me, I touched the pulpit. Not only that, I started moving around a little bit preaching. I even told a joke, and I never got all my humor back yet, and I doubt if I will when you hurt that deep.
But I told a joke or two. A week or two passed. I'm preaching. I'm back in the kitchen, man. Bless God, I'll tell you. I'm preaching away. Then I go over here, and God pointed Kim out to me. He said, there's your next wife. Scared me to death. Now, folks, I'm not trying to be spooky to you. I'm just trying to tell you what God did to me. And I won't go any deeper than that, but I'm telling you right now, when he said that's her, I said, she'll never, ever. That's crazy, no. She's friends with my daughter, good friends with my wife. I said, no, never. I pastored her 9 years, never said 150 words to her. Her church is big. I don't fraternize with women. Well, I'm married. I'm simply saying that God has something for you, and as I begin to help other people, and God is in heal my heart, then I was trying to help people. Then God said, it's good for a man not to be alone. And God pointed out. Are y'all with me now? If you go through the trials and the tribulation, God says something good for you on the other side. But what we end up doing is whining and crying and complaining through the whole thing and quit on God. And then God has nothing for us after that. God won't see you. Second thing I want to say, boy, and I'll never get finished. Second thing I want to say is that we might not trust in ourselves. Look at verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead.
Amen.
God wants us to run out of soap. Come to the end of ourselves. We're so self-sufficient. We got it all together. Got money to bank, food in the refrigerator, everything. God will handle this. Could I say this? When you get through those deep waters, my friend, you can't handle that. And God wants you to run out of soap. He wants you to trust in Him and Him alone. He wants us to become to an end of ourselves. And it's not. And God is not interested in what you're going through half as much as what the result's going to be when you go through it. He's interested in our attitude. How's your attitude toward me, God is saying? I'm putting you through some trials and tribulations. Do you love whatever you're losing more than you love me? You're supposed to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul.
Amen.
Are you with me now? He wants to know, are you learning through this suffering period of time? Because I have a ministry for you, if you allow it. One of the great songs that we sing, what number is it, baby? You had it a while ago. I think I had it too, right? You're not much of a help, baby. You wrote the sermon, but you're not helping me with it. 529, turn, if you have a songbook, 529. You don't have songbooks? Okay. We had to look at one. I'll quote it to you. We sing How Firm a Foundation, do we not? Huh? Listen to it, please. But because the author is unknown. But we sing that song all the time. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, as laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. Listen carefully. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy trials to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flames shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine. Now, brother, listen very carefully. All of you have sung that song if you've been in church any length of time. But what we do is we sing it because we read the words. We don't live the words. And that's the same thing with the book. A lot of time we read the book. We just don't want to live the book. In this society, people don't care if you have a Bible. They just care if you live the Bible. And so what he's trying to do is get us to come to totally depend on him when we're going through trials and suffering. Notice in verse 11, please. So can learn to give thanks. You see what it says in verse 11? Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on your behalf. It's hard to thank God when you're going through suffering, through trials, through heartache. But you got to come through the first two first. Are you listening to him?
Amen.
You've got to
comfort others. You've got to take the ministry that God gives you when you're suffering. You've got to be helping others through their trials. And then you got to trust in Him totally and not in yourself. And then only then can you start giving God thanks. I hate to disturb you Sunday morning with the Bible. Let me give you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, brethren, when God says everything, that's what He means. When we say everything, we don't mean that. But when He says it, are y'all with me? Say amen. Everything. That's hard to do. I'm not asking you to do something easy. God never asked to do it. I'd rather do something hard and fail at it than do something easy and be successful at it. I'm not asking you to do anything easy. There's no easy thing in the Christian life. Can you imagine them taking our disciples and killing every one of them and then killing my Savior? Serving the Lord is not an easy thing sometimes. Why would we want it easy? That's the problem. We're spoil rotten. I'm simply saying God is allowing us to go through this because He wants to use us and we're to give thanks. You need to understand that these sufferings are for our good and His glory, and then only then can we give thanks. Amen. Are you suffering? What are you going through right now? There are folks in this room now, I don't know you, many of you, but you're going through some stuff that would shock everybody if you stood behind this pulpit. I don't know what you're going through. But I can promise you one thing. If you'll thank God for it, you might be shocked how He can come in and begin to resolve some things in your life and show you. By the way, I want to say this very plain. God don't have to explain nothing to any of us. He doesn't have to tell us why about anything. Dr. Orloff said, when you can't track God, you need to trust Him. And that's true. So we can't, sometimes we don't know why, and that's not the point. The point is that, are you doing what I told you to do? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 said, giving thanks always in all things unto God. Did you hear it? Give thanks always in all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that that's what God commands us to do. So please remember that God wants to give you a ministry, every one of us. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your name is. He wants to give every one of us a ministry to help others that are going through the same thing we're going through. I might have said this here before, but I got to thinking, when I wasn't feeling sorry for myself, I just got to thinking, man, I lost my mom, my dad, my grandmother, grandfather, you know, wife, son. And I got thinking, man, I've lost every relationship on planet Earth. In the middle of the night, God woke me up, and I sat up in bed. He said, son, you still got two living mother-in-laws. And I said, Lord, that's the ones you want to go first, right? I mean, and I was preaching one day, and my mother-in-law from Louisiana was there, and she's sitting back with Kim's, and they're whispering back and forth. I said, son, I'm cooked. I'm a cooked goose, man. If my people went to them, they could have blackmailed me big time, man. I lost both of them now. I've lost every living relationship on planet Earth. And some of you have too. I understand that. So it's obvious that somebody lose somebody, I can actually go to them and say, I know how you feel. Let me give you this scripture. Maybe you want to write it down. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. It's all down through the Word of God. You'll see, listen. You'll see suffering that is ordained of God. We're to give Him thanks, but always He's going to bring us through on the other side, victory. If you can just see, folks, we can't see past our nose sometimes. We can see that when we go through the fire, He has something glorious and great on the other side. It's amazing. We're too selfish, folks. We're so ate up with ourselves. It's amazing. There are people all out there that are suffering. I got to shut her down now. Further along, we'll know all about it. Sure, we sing that all the time. Further along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Yeah.
Amen.
Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it more by and by. So there's going to come a time we will understand some of this. We don't have to understand now. We need to trust now. I got to shut her down. But when we were going through all the suffering in the hospital with my wife, I preached every service. Every service. When we got the diagnosis on a Wednesday, I'm thinking, and I could be wrong with this, Dr. Nichols was in town. I think he was doing a module for the college, Providence Baptist College, I think. And I'm sure he drove, I guess. He normally drives. And he was going either, I'm not sure, but he was headed back home. And we got the diagnosis when the doctor came in and said, incurable, untreatable. How would you like to get that information in one day? Look at my beautiful wife going, what? I figured maybe we could do something, right? Untreatable. Incurable. Untreatable. You're about silence. I don't know, somewhere I asked Dr. Al, I said, hey man, can you stay over tonight and speak? I don't know if I can. And he did. He did such a wonderful job. Y'all remember, because I'm stealing the message from another evangelist, already stole the message. I'm stealing it next. I'm working on it. When he preached, when I disagree with God, y'all know the service.
Yeah.
He got to preaching. He got to looking up, tears run down his face. He talked about all the times he disagreed with God. He said, I disagree with God. But I'm wrong, and he's always right.
Amen.
He made a wonderful statement. He said, I know a bunch of preachers that if God would kill their wives, he'd do them and God a favor and the church. And it's true. If you preach around, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But he said, not sweet Carla. Not that woman. But see, death is no respect of persons, and heartache is no respect of persons. And when we think we're all of that, we're not. And God will come. Time went on, and we brought her home. When they said that, she said, I want to go home. I don't want to be fed. I don't want anything. Just some pain medicine. Maybe we took her home, put her in hospice. Literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of giant bouquets came to our home. They lined all the third story, all down the walls, all down the stairs, all downstairs. I don't know where they came from, all over the world. We had her in her bed, and she was not eating anything. She'd take a little bit for pain. She just said, I just want to go home. I want to be left alone. I just want to go home. I don't want any medical anything. I remember she was laying there, and it started snowing down there. It had snowflakes about that big, and they're falling. And she said, this is a beautiful day, isn't it? I go, beautiful? Man, I'm dying inside. I'm about to lose my wife. He said, what do you mean beautiful? She said, listen, she said, I'm living my funeral. Man, you're going to shock me. I'm living my funeral. I said, wife, what are you talking about? She said, look at the snow. Smell the flowers. She said, when you're in a box, you can't smell the flowers. I'm smelling the flowers. I'm looking at the snow. How beautiful is this? Man, I was dying inside. Time went on. We took her in January the 9th. We took her home by the 26th. She was dead. Am I right about that? That was a time frame. People around the country flew in just to say goodbye to her. We had parking lot attendants out at my house parking people. They'd come in, sit in the sitting room. A preacher friend of mine said, you got this long with her. She can't stand a whole lot, but you have this long to be with her. And if I walk in, you got to leave. And he started assigning everybody how long they could go in there. They went and loved on Carla a bit. And she said, I'm leaving my funeral. I'm saying goodbye to all the people I love. Smelling the flowers. The snow. Then I sat there on a Friday night going into Saturday before the sun rose. And I heard my wife drown in her own body fluids. Backed up. Hey, nobody needs to experience that. I remember Brother Nichols, I left the room. They put in a black body bag. My wife in a black body bag. And they took her down them steep steps from my home. And I thought, man, don't drop her. She's dead. I said, don't drop her. I remember standing and I see him go past the big picture window. My wife in a black body bag. I thought my world had ended. I went to my office immediately. I was averaging about 2 hours sleep for several weeks. Went to my office and I started preparing for Sunday. And I preached all day Sunday. What folks don't understand is my financial secretary died. A sweet woman, been with me for years and years and years, died on Thursday. She died on Thursday. Excuse me, Tuesday. She died on Tuesday. My wife died. No, she didn't. I think it was Thursday. And my wife died on Saturday. At the same week. Devastated our church. Just rocked our church. I preached all day Sunday. Preached Carol's funeral on Tuesday. And then preached my wife's funeral on Friday. I told the folks at the church, I said, don't come till Saturday. We're going to have a funeral for the wife on Friday for outsiders. You know, business people and people I knew would maybe feel these two sections. Probably not. And all of a sudden, when I walked out, Dwayne, you were there, Dr. Dwayne, you were there. You couldn't put another warm person in that building. They were standing out in the foyer. You couldn't get in. I was shocked. I said, what in the world? Preachers from all over the country came with their wives. We had like seven couples from from the left coast over there, from California, flying with their wives. East coast, north, south. They came in from everywhere. The place was absolutely, you couldn't put another person in. I was shocked. And I preached that night. And I said, at evening, my wife died. And I did as the Lord commanded. It was the hardest thing in the world to do. And then we had the service on Saturday for the church, packed out again. It was an amazing thing. I remember it was like 17 below zero or something, some crazy number. Remember they had a snowstorm, Doc? Remember y'all had a snowstorm and couldn't get in. And so Dr. Coral drove. He said he had to throw his ticket down and say we'd never get in because of the snowstorm. He drove all over the Pennsylvania. Preachers came in from everywhere. And I remember it was like 17 below zero or whatever. We were standing there. The funeral director said, we've never had a funeral this big ever in all the history of our over 100 years of us doing this. It was so cold out there. And then a year later, I had Dr. Buchanan and Dr. Smith come in to help me. Man, I was saved under, man, I was called to preach under. And then the next day we had that. And then Kim and I got married a year later around the same time, January. And I had those two men come back in to do the wedding. And it was like 11 below zero. I remember Dr. Smith stand up. He said, all right, folks. He said, we came here. We buried Keith's first wife at 17 below. We're back here to marry his second wife. He and his second wife. It's 11 below. I ain't coming a year from now to dedicate a baby when it's... God has something for you. I wish you'd get a hold of it. I wish you'd understand He has a ministry of suffering for you. I'm over time, but it's worth it if I can just get one of you to understand this great truth. Father, help us today. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. Father, we thank You for the suffering that we've experienced. You had a reason.